Can you hear me fine?
What's up?
You can hear me okay?
Yeah.
Cool.
You sound great.
Thank you. I'm not even using the mic.
Really?
Yeah, it's, it didn't recognize it and I wasn't going to restart my computer. So.
No. You're just using the computer mic?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Sounds all right. What's up, everybody? This is the Screamcast Late Night.
Hey.
Finally, again, we're getting to this. It's been a bit, so we apologize to everyone. Fun fact, we're fucking busy. We have families and jobs, and I want to try to keep this up as much as we can, but there's going to be, you know, some weeks where the shit's not going to get done. And thank for all of you that stuck with us, thank you. For those that decided to ditch us, you'll be back and then you'll hear this.
I don't,
but, anyway, what's up?
Said, I don't think they know what they're missing.
They don't. You kind of dropped out for a second and then I heard, is your daughter's not downloading movies again, is she?
She wasn't download. Oh yeah, that's right. She was downloading stuff from Vudu. No, she's in bed.
Okay. Yeah,
don't forget it's 9:30 over here.
Yeah, we have a lost podcast episode where Brad kept bouncing in and out and it turned out later that his daughter was downloading shit.
Yeah.
So today, Brad, we're going to go through a couple of these. So those of you who are $5 patrons, you guys are involved in this late night podcast. Thank you for sending in questions and topics. We have we're going to do a couple this time around because I think one of these isn't going to really go very far. So, I'll send out another link or another post to all of you patrons for more questions and things like that. I have ideas of like if Brad's not, dog's playing in the background. If Brad's not available, I may throw out the call to some of you $5 patrons to come and join and we'll do a bullshit session, stuff like that. Just kind of keep this going. That way, you know, no matter what, I can just get bonus content put up here for everybody. But and then BJ is going to be supplying a little show as well. So soon, that's happening soon. She keeps telling me she has stuff to send me. So, But all right. So this first question is from William Piper. William, what's up?
Bill P.
We're gonna Brad is unaware of this question, so we're just going to do this real quick.
Yeah, this is in cold.
What are your views on horror or sci-fi from the silent film era?
Horror and sci-fi from the silent film era.
The only one that I know of is Nosferatu. Is the only one that I've really, and then Trip to the Moon or whatever. But I mean, I don't know. I haven't really, you know, watched too many of those or looked into it or my views. Here's my views.
Oh,
William. They're awesome for like, you know, historical purposes, not my cup of tea, but fun to visit every now and then. It would be amazing if some label could pool together a lot of these kind of, silent films and stuff like that in that genre and, bring them together because Nosferatu is pretty damn creepy. If you've seen that, the silent version, not the remake or whatever made in the 70s. But that's I mean, they're cool historical little things to watch, I guess, you know,
I haven't
seen too many. Brad, what about you?
Let's go. Well, I'm pretty familiar. I don't really know any a lot of sci-fi other than, you know, kind of the science fiction-esque that, you know, George Méliès has done most of his short films. Like I own a big, not a, I guess it's not really a set. It's just a two DVD set, and then they came out with like an additional one with like an extra 4 hours. But I have like, you know, 400 hours of fucking George Melies short films that I've watched. Is that your puppy?
they're fighting.
Ooh.
Two dogs are fighting.
I got money on Balin. So yeah, I mean, I have those. I
Oh, you're breaking up. See, this is what happened during that lost episode. Something's going down.
See, I can hear you just fine.
You kind of, I hear a, and then you like bounce, you disappear. Are you sure your daughter's not downloading things on Vudu?
Yeah. I nothing's actually happening right now.
Is Janice watching anything?
She's actually just playing Candy Crush on her Kindle, I believe.
She's crushing the internet at your place.
Nah.
All right, go for it. You're back.
All right. Here, let me do one other thing. All right. What I was saying is that, you know, I've watched a lot of, I think I'm saying his name correctly, George Melies. But anyways, I've watched a lot of his short films. They're creepy. They're very inventive. You know, you kind of get to see the basis of what, you know, is happening. It, you know, he was making some of the very first horror films ever made, you know, dealing with vampires and ghosts and devils and goblins and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with his work. Like Sean said, Nosferatu is a really good classic. It's cool when people like overlay different music for it. I always found that really interesting. Movies that I really like, the silent films, Kino released earlier this year, and I think Eureka put it out too. They put a deluxe edition of The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, which I really like that. I recently just watched 1925's Phantom of the Opera because I was listening to the soundtrack of, you know, the Andrew Lloyd Webber thing in my car, and Willow asked, she's like, is this a horror musical? And I said, yeah, kind of. And I was like, it's based off this, you know, he kind of got this idea, made put music with it. So we watched original Phantom of the Opera. Criterion has a kick-ass one that they put out called Haxan. That's really good. It's like witches and shit. Silent movies. The Phantom Care.
Well, I mean, you know about way more than I do.
Yeah, the Phantom Carriage, Criterion put that on Blu-ray. That's really good. And, you know, there's a clip in it that surfaces on the net with a scene where he's battling down this door with this axe, and it's very reminiscent to The Shining. And word is that Stanley Kubrick was inspired by that. Trying to think of anything else that I have. Kino also put out his name's like Hurbun. It's like H-U-R-B. I can't pronounce his last name, but it's The Haunted Castle. I think Kino put that on DVD. It's from the 20s. It's kind of a ghastly little tale, but I enjoy that. I'm trying, like, he asked me these questions, like,
yeah,
no, on the fly. It's kind of hard, but
I think that's good.
Yeah,
we're gonna hit this real quick. We're gonna hit this one and quit it.
But yeah, I enjoy them. One thing with silent films that I enjoy, especially with horror, like I said, I haven't really dipped into sci-fi. And honestly, I can't think of any off the top of my head other than, you know, some weird like Melies films. But one thing I really like it is just you don't really have a lot going on, so you just have to focus on the atmosphere and the visuals in these films. I mean, sometimes there's some music overlay. No one's really talking, you know, it's just reading text every, you know, 15 minutes. So, you know, the whole film depends on the atmosphere. And, you know, if you turn off the lights and you watch, you know, something like The Phantom Carriage or Nosferatu, you kind of get, you know, you dig deep into the film and you look at the visuals. And I think that's kind of, you know, watching those in the dark theater, you know, back in the day, I imagine that's how they did it too. And I think you get immersed into that when you do it like that. So I don't know. I've always enjoyed them, and I think it's a cool experience. I don't find them boring. You know, the filmmaker obviously knew he was just working with visuals.
Yeah.
You know, now, you know, we can take something, you know, you take the music out of Halloween, it's not as intense, you know. So, you know, these filmmakers didn't really know about that. So they mainly just focus on atmosphere and visuals. And I think that's what's more important, you know. And, you know, they weren't relying on dialogue or something creepy being said or a fucking, you know, synth score, you know, or anything like that, or anything to bulk up the sense of dread with music or something, you know, because music can make a movie. It can make one too, but they didn't have that. So I don't know. I enjoy it to see what they can actually do. If you know any Bill P, let me know, and I'll watch them. I've seen more. It's just those are the ones off the top of my head that I can only think about.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's move on to one more question here. And then we'll call this a late night to an end.
I did pretty well on the fly.
You did, man. This is another one on the fly, but I think we can. I think we can answer this one, and then next week we'll get to Paul Farrell. But this is from Ron Compostein, who recently won a drawing. We drew his name. He won some shit. He won Running Scared. I think, was that him?
I don't know. Maybe anyway. Kong.
So he asks, has your love of horror / exploitation films ever caused issues with family and or friends?
That's all you. But I do have answers.
Yeah.
But I do have a story. Go ahead.
Probably the well, a couple. So
that's a good question, by the way. That's a good question.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron. So when we were going to be covering Necromantic.
I remember this.
Necromantic and everything, and I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, those of you who've heard me on the show before, like, you know, there's certain, I have like, there's like a line that I don't cross with kind of exploitation and like, you know, pornography and everything anyway, but so this is a Necromantic, and I was like, well, you know, really, how bad could it be? The cover, though, is pretty, you know, is pretty shocking if you're not used to seeing stuff like that. It's like, you know, basically a naked woman with a corpse laying on her breasts. And
yeah, sexy.
So I posted a picture kind of joking around because I had to watch it for the show. I was like, you know, look what Brad's making me do, or just some goofy thing like that, you know, and – I posted it, and I think I meant to post it, or because certain things I'll make sure it's excluded from certain family members because I know that they would probably freak out about it. But I forgot to do it, or I just kind of did it on the fly, and my sister-in-law saw that picture and kind of got concerned, apparently, because she thought I was watching some weird porn. And so she, for some reason, brought it up to my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law then brought it up to my father-in-law. They all apparently had some sort of family meeting about it, and they all met about it. They all talked about it. My father-in-law Googled necrophilia.
Wow.
So he's reading all this stuff.
I remember this, yeah.
And think that I'm watching some weird shit. Doesn't really look into the film itself. And, you know, he of course, didn't hear the interview that we did. And which was a really fantastic interview, by the way. I learned so much about that film just through that interview. And then so that made its way around to my wife. This is all without me knowing. They had to talk to my wife. Then they scheduled some sort of family meeting, and they all, like, my father-in-law and mother-in-law came over to have a talk.
Because I remember Sean texting me
that my marriage with my wife is okay, and that I'm not doing anything that would compromise my marriage. And I assured them that everything was fine, and that they got everything out of context, and they got, you know, worried, and I had to smooth it all over. And I told him about the interview and, you know, and all that kind of stuff and embellished a little bit. But I mean, the movie's more than just some woman fucking a corpse. Like, there's so much more to that film. It's it's a response to, if you like, listen to the interview. It's a response to kind of like, I guess Germany's rules on cinema at the time, and they're all about pushing limits. And then, so I had to explain all that to him and everything. And, yeah, so that was a big to do. And, you know, I don't know. They probably just think I'm just some fucking weirdo, no matter what, and that my soul is damned. Oh, see, you disappeared for a second. I'll wait for the sound to stop.
Really?
Right there. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing, man.
Man. All right.
I don't know what it is. So that pose, that was a very awkward situation for me. And then when Vinegar Syndrome shipped me a box of porn, that got a little weird because my wife, for personal reasons, is not very much into porn. I'm not into porn anyway, that much. I mean, there's a couple times where I've needed a little bit. But I'm not just one who sits down to watch, you know, like it was always awkward for me to just, I'm going to sit down and watch this porno. And so my wife has different, you know, she has different hangups about it. Not necessarily religious. She's in more of a feminist aspect where she feels like a lot of the women in the porn industry are taken advantage of, get trapped in there. So she has her own feelings about it. And that's fine. Like her and I have had discussions about that. So when I got that shipment, like a big old box of porn from Vinegar Syndrome to review for the show, when we first brought them on as a sponsor, my wife had stumbled across it, of course, in my office, and it was a little awkward. She wasn't like any condemning, but it was just awkward. Like she was like, she was more concerned about the kids, I guess, stumbling into this stack of porn on my desk.
Yeah.
But that's it. I got more stories, man. I grew up in a super, super Christian household. And I remember I'd be watching a movie, my mom would walk in and she would just say something like, that's pornography. Like, say, like the sex scene in Titanic, she thought was pornography. And then, you know, something with like demon possession, she would just say something like, that's just satanic, that's the devil, you know, all that kind of stuff. So pretty much my entire childhood and teenage years were, you know, the stuff that I liked always caused issues. I mean, I think my parents expected me to basically turn into a Satanist or something. But not saying Satanists are bad. Actually, I know a lot of Satanists, and they're actually really cool people. So, I don't know.
Thank you. I'm kidding. So, well, I enjoy those stories because I don't live that. But I do have a couple things that has happened in my life. Nothing too as big as yours and, you know, bombastic as your family coming over for an intervention. My family has never condemned anything I've watched. I was always free to watch what I want with my mom, so it was nothing like that. My first encounter was probably maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, I would say. For years, on Wednesday nights, I have hosted a movie night. Basically, programming between one or two films for over, man, I would say a good, I mean, this is, I started doing this when I was in college. Maybe 2008, 2007, started this for probably about 10 years. Of course, we missed a couple movie nights here and there, but I don't know, maybe about seven years ago, I screened for a bunch of people. I put on Takeshi Miike's Dead or Alive, which is out on Blu-ray from Arrow. And in that film, there is a scene with a dog and some behind the scenes pornography, and nothing's really shown. If you've seen the film, it's just, you know, they're trying to get the dog to hump a a girl and videotape it. And one of the people that was there, one of the girls, she had a fit, like right in the middle of everybody watching it. And she walked out, and you know, she was very like vocal about it. And I was like, hey, I was like, you know, it's, you know, with me, I don't really tend to be like, I'm sorry. I'm just like, it's a movie. Like, we're all having a good time, and I've screened a lot of shit over here that's pretty crazy. Like, this is the thing that pisses you off. And she was like, if you ever show anything like that again, I'm not coming over. And I was just like, okay, I can't really make any promises because I don't know what's going to offend people. And honestly, I didn't even think about it. Like, I knew that scene was in there. But I more or less almost look at it as a comical part because it's not, you know, it's not a disgusting scene. It's just happening in the background while two people were having a conversation. So yeah, that was one instance. The other instance wasn't, a reaction I didn't expect. Well, basically like that. So, South by Southwest, like 2000, I don't know, maybe 12, 13, whatever, 11. I can't remember what year it played, but at midnight they played, a film. They played a Serbian film there. Immediately, you know, after the screening, people were tweeting about it. And my buddy told me about it. And apparently it was this big upset. You know, people were like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe we fucking watched this movie. You know, Tim League apparently was afraid that they were going to get the cops called on him for showing some type of pornography. So they were trying to, you know, get the print out of the theater. And I was like, okay, that's, you know, from what I've heard, like, this movie's pretty insane. You know, and anytime somebody says, man, this is crazy, you know, I'm always down to watch it because I want to be shocked. So eventually down the line, I was, you know, movie was never, it still hasn't been fully released over here. Uncut, Unearthed Films talking about releasing it over here, uncut with, you know, all the footage. Right now there's just a Blu-ray out that has like five missing minutes, but that 5 minutes is pretty, you know, intense. So I finally had somebody got me a bootleg of it. This is one of those films I just thought I would never get to see. So they sent it to me and I watched it one night, you know, when I knew everybody was gone out of the house, like completely. And I watched it and I was like, fuck, man, that's fucking, that's heavy. So just talking to Janice, I mentioned it. I'm like, hey, they played this movie, you know, and it's like, there's this really crazy rape scene with like kids. It's just insane. Like, it's a really awful movie. Like, you know, but at some, like in some of, and she's like, oh my God. And I was like, you know, and I was like, but the cool thing is that it's got like a really good soundtrack and actually a decent story. Like, and Janice starts crying and I'm like, oh no. She was like, how can you watch something like that? And I was like, Janice, it's fake. Like, I'm not, I don't really, you know, if it was, obviously if it was real, number one, I wouldn't even be watching it. You know, I wouldn't even be telling you about it. And
besides, I was thinking about you when I was jerking off. So,
whoa, you made this get dark. So I'm like, I was like, Janice, like, it's fine. Like, you know, I was like, it's just like, I understand you're upset. She's like, that stuff really does happen. And I was like, yeah, people get murdered in real life, but we watch movies about murder. And, you know, sometimes we even root for the killer. Like, honestly, like, I didn't really think anything of it. It didn't put any like stress. Nothing actually happened after that. It was mostly just talking with her. And she was ashamed. She was even more ashamed after I watched it like two more times with other people. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you don't know how people are going to act. So both of mine were reactions to what one was being said. I actually didn't see it. And the other one was to see it. And people can get upset for what they see, even though it is, you know, fictional. You know, people can really, you know, so always, you know, with that said, I do try to be a little bit more, conscientious about what I'm going to screen. I still have screened some pretty heavy movies with friends, and I've gotten a fuck you, Brad, afterwards. But, you know, hey, you know, you got to live your life on the edge.
Yeah. Well, I used to do for my birthday, I'd always invite somebody out, my friends out to a movie, and then I would always.
Oh, you're hungry. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to make you waffle in just a second. Give me 2 minutes. Press A. The button A. Oh, no, it's on the count. It's on the little coffee table. Just go watch the movie. I'll be right there. I'll be right there. I'll make you waffles. You'll press A. Okay. All right.
Live and uncut, it's Screamcast Late Night. Sean starves his children and then promises them egos. What was I saying? So I'd always invite friends out to a movie, and it was always something more artsy or dark or whatever. And one year was Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, and one year was Punch Drunk Love. And I always kind of traveled in really conservative Christian circles, and this was living in Tulsa, a lot of people going to Bible college, and each year I had less and less people joining me for the film that I would pick. And it was like I didn't even pick anything crazy. And I remember one time I had people over and we were watching Clerks, and I'd, you know, a handful of friends just leave like halfway through. They were like, okay, this movie's enough. It was right after the girl kind of accidentally fucked the dead guy in the bathroom of Clerks, and apparently that was the thing that made people leave. Confession of a Dangerous Mind, they showed Sam Rockwell's ass a lot. And then Punch Drunk Love, I think they were kind of weirded out by just... It was either just a bad movie that they thought was bad or
whatever. Thing's a masterpiece.
I don't know. Let's just say I stopped hanging out with those people more. I stopped inviting those people and I got new friends. But it's like, geez, these are all just movies. Well,
yeah, no, I agree.
If you guys have any stories, we'd love to hear them. We'll read them. Maybe we'll read them on an episode. Drop us a line. readme@thescreamcast.com. And we'll read these in maybe our next full-length episode or something. I don't know.
What do you yes. Think,
yeah. Yeah, readme@thescreamcast.com.
I'm sure everybody has one.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's a great subject. Maybe we can wrap that into an episode, maybe. Or something. I don't know. All right, well, I think it's going to do it for this edition of Late Night, Brad.
I had a great time.
I want to thank William Piper and Ron Compostine for your questions. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for being patrons and giving us your hard-earned cash each month. We really do appreciate all you guys. And like I said, we've opened this up to $3 and up patrons. So all of you, thank you so much. And if we get... I'm trying to get a goal of like, if we start making like $200 a month, I'll open this up to all patrons, and then we'll do some kind of levels of involvement with these episodes, these extra episodes. And, you know, of course, $5 patrons, you get the most visibility, and we'll figure it out from there. But this has been a lot of fun to do this. Thank you guys for being patient for these, and we'll start knocking these out quicker. I know we just need to, we've been busy. I work for the power company, and we had like this gigantic job that was like high visibility all the way up to like vice presidents. So my ass was on the line like every day for a good 2 months. So it's been crazy, man. It's just been hard to schedule these. And then you've been doing a shit ton too. So
yeah, but I just can't talk about certain things. Bro. Yeah.
Yep. Well, now that we're back in the school year and stuff, things are settling down. We should be able to schedule these more frequently. And like I said, once BJ starts contributing, and then I might think of something else to contribute to and get $5 patrons involved, an extra show. And that will kind of, at least that way we have new content coming out every week, and it's not just reliant on just me and you bullshitting about stuff, but we'll do it. We'll do it all. You pay us a little bit of cash, we do some extra shit. How's that?
We sound like hookers.
Totally. Hooking it out. Brad might give, he might post a dick pic on the Patreon. I won't, but a Brad might.
It's a good idea.
I know, right? $100 a month, you get dick pics.
$200.
you do a dick pic for $200?
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. All right. All right. We'll talk to you guys next time. And our next show is going to be talking about some vinegar syndrome. So we're scheduling that right now. So keep your ears out for that. And if you haven't checked out the Let's Get Nashy episode, please check it out. And
I like getting nashy.
Yeah. I like it. Stephanie Crawford, she's on that episode. That's the second episode she's been on with us. She's pretty cool.
Pretty cool girl.
Yep. And of course, Josh Obershaw joined us in that one as well. So, all right. Well, we'll talk to all you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.